Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Yeah, I got one.
Here's John Williams.
Had all weekend, and here it is. Hi, it's John. It's 107. We're in the Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. The sun is shining downtown. We have some clouds, but some blue skies, and spring is... What is today's date? Do we know? Do we have that information that's been made public?
The 12th, all day long.
So spring is just a few weeks. So let's see. How do you count spring, the end of March?
Is the 20th. The first day of spring is the 20th.
March 20th?
Yeah, so we're a week and a day away.
I'll take that. I'll take that.
That would be 8 days. So I'm going to break that down in hours?
Hey, math major, I got it. I got it. Speaking of school, here's my big thought for the day. It's more a question for you, but my answer is yes. If your kid said, Mom, Dad, Wednesday I want to walk out to protest school violence and make a statement about guns in schools, are you okay with that? I would say yes. If the kid says, as some students will have to say to their parents, I'll get a detention, the school isn't quote-unquote allowing that, what would you say to your kid then? What would you say if your kid said, I want to walk out of school on Wednesday and the school isn't behind it? In Downers Grove, the superintendent of that school district says, you have your right to free speech, and part of the civics lesson you're going to participate in is that you'll know there are consequences. What do you say then? I say walk out. On this one, walk out. If it's senior ditch day, I don't. Think about that. Most of us kind of look the other way when kids ditch for senior skip day anyway. Here's one time where it's actually meaningful. Yeah, get behind that.
I'll be surprised. We'll see if they're actually, it seems to me like the educators who get behind the punishment part of it are on the wrong, not that they're on the wrong side of it, but that it's not going to work. You know, it's just, I think there'll probably be pressure for them.
Isn't a detention worth walking out? I mean, it's just a detention.
Right, so that's a small price to pay, but it is the, that's an interesting point, Violetta, right? I mean, it's not like they're saying you can't go to prom or you can't matriculate.
Is it a detention that goes on to your permanent record or is it a temporary record?
Actually, the way kids safeguard their records these days, those that are competitive with grades or trying to get into a good school, you know, whatever. I think that could be meaningful to them.
Wait, people can see when you get a detention?
I would imagine that. Well,
I guess I wasn't that competitive. I had a detention here.
Whatever. I suppose it can go like this. Suppose in the 10 o'clock hour, you had an algebra test and you don't have an excused absence, and this is not at Downers Grove, then I would imagine you're going to not get credit for that test, and that would affect your grade, and next thing you know, you're living in a van down by the river.
But there being no consequences to ditching would just be a day off of school, which isn't the point of walking out.
I promise you that teachers who are threatening exams and things like that, 98% of them will not do it, or will allow makeup, or you know what I mean? They're not going to come down on the wrong side of this. I just don't think they will.
I love your use of the wrong side of this. That sounds like me, Steve.
Well, when I say the wrong side of it, I don't mean right or wrong. I mean the popular wave of it. And it just, the appearance of it I think it's just too great against it. I don't think they'll do it.
They won't punish the kids?
No.
Really? Yeah.
Are they going to have 2,000 kids in a study hall or in a detention one day? I don't think so.
We called a bunch of schools, and we've been clicking around just to see what we can find out. Here's the Downers Grove seems to be the most, you know, strident about this from an administrative standpoint. I'm reading from patch.com. Students who walk out of class will be subject to an hour-long detention or other disciplinary actions. Superintendent Hank Thiele, T-H-I-E-L-E, said in an email to students and parents, "We believe for students to receive the full civics lesson of what it means to participate in a protest also requires accepting the consequences for their actions. That's Violetta would actually be disappointed if there wasn't any consequences. You'd walk out and go, well, that's it? You're not even going to give me a detention? Well, if you're taking away all the oomph of this thing.
The whole point is to go against something.
Go against the grain. Where's the grain? Come on, super. At Lyons Township High School, that's where producer Elephant is, where my kids went in Western Springs. We will maintain a compassionate, student-centered approach in every single interaction. We will respect the rights of students to demonstrate. We will fulfill our obligation as educators to provide on-campus supervision for students who choose to walk out. They say if you want to go to class, you can go to class. We'll still be teaching. We'll work with the local police to make it safe. Students will not specifically be held accountable for participating in the demonstration. We are fortunate to have an amazing group of students who care about important issues. They're on board at LT. I called all of our high schools. Manuka High School, Manuka Community High School, Go Indians, has not gotten back to us yet. Resurrection High School, where Violetta was evidently grinding away.
I was in AP classes. I just didn't know detentions weren't allowed. How are you going to learn a lesson if you don't go to detention?
Why do you think you ended up in radio?
Has not gotten back to us. Bishop Mack, where Steve Bertrand went, will have students gather in the school gym for a service prayer and memorial.
See, that shows you Terry Granger's a smart principal down there.
At Richwoods High School in Peoria and Morris Community High School in Grundy County, it's the county seat. They are doing organized things inside the school, sitting in the hallway or doing something at the gym within the school. That's fine. But I really don't see the purpose of that. If I'm the students, I need to walk away from the school. I need to do this extra school, extra administration outside of. If the school says, okay, well, here's what we're going to do. We're all going to go in the gym. We're going to do a prayer service. That's nice, but that's not the essence of a protest. That's cooperative. A protest is kind of the opposite of that.
Okay, but you're not protesting the school, right? The schools aren't the bad people
that's
here.
That's true.
Right, but you're like Violetta, just arrest me.
No, okay,
arrest
hold
me,
on.
Damn it.
That's... Attica, Attica. Attica.
If you don't get in trouble, you didn't do anything.
I know.
You
well,
didn't do enough, right?
I know. That's kind of where you're going, and I'm halfway there with you, Violetta. Bertrand just brought us back.
Yeah. Maybe the kids that stay in school, I mean, how much learning can really go on in that day if 50%, 75% of the kids are walking out?
Okay, but it's 17 minutes. You know, I suspect...
Oh, they're going back to school?
That's my understanding. They're going to walk out. You know, I imagine the getting out, doing it, and the getting back in, you're going to lose a class period.
Oh, I thought they were leaving for the day.
Well, I asked the students, but most of these look like 17 minutes of silence for each of the students killed. God, at the various schools. So my question to you is, what would you say or do about this? Sam Panionovich, who used to do sports here at WGN Radio until recently, he moved to Vegas where the action is. He wanted to be closer to the gaming. He does a serious satellite gaming show where they give odds to sporting events. I think it's just sporting events. But now that everybody's filling out their brackets, we're calling Sam to have him break. Tell us what the odds are.
You're going to ask him about the Marquette-Harvard game in the NIT? Because I think a lot of people want to know.
That'll be my first question. Sam, everybody's talking today about Marquette-Harvard. Too bad for Harvard, too. They lost a heartbreaker in the Ivy League championship. Fun to see Harvard play in the big boys.
I never thought I'd hear someone say, too bad, Harvard.
Poor Harvard.
I know. They just don't get enough.
That happens every now and then. We're watching a game, and it's Stanford, and they, you know, or Northwestern or Harvard or somebody like that, and they suffer a heartbreaker, Notre Dame. And then we kind of sit there and go, yeah, but they're going to Notre Dame. You know, at the end of the day, win or lose, they went to Notre Dame. They win! They win! No losers that go to Harvard, Notre Dame, Stanford, Northwestern, University of Chicago. Be fun to see one of the small schools, if they can step up, though, and dethrone one of the big schools. Root for the 15s.
Yes, go Flames.
Yeah, and Loyola is actually an 11. I think Loyola's an 11 seed. Wow. How about them apples? Most folks have them... Well, Sam will talk to us about it. I got the charts here in the brackets. We'll see what he says. Where the smart money is after 1:30. We're talking about the student walkouts. Here's what they're saying at Wheaton North and Wheaton Warrenville South High Schools. At school, we are not organizing any demonstrations. School staff will not actively participate at the Wheaton High Schools. We do not condone students walking out of school as it creates a safety concern. In fact, advertising specific date, time, and location of a walkout is not in the best interest of our students. With that said, we understand students' desire to have a voice and to know their concerns are heard. We respect our students' rights to peacefully protest. It's our primary goal to ensure they are kept safe in the process. We will not discipline students who choose to peacefully act or assemble. Nah, I think that's the right course of action. Actually, Violetta, off the air, you said something that I think is interesting. The students walk out. You think the parents should be there, too.
I mean, we're talking about if parents are going to accept their kids walking out, and I think parents should even meet their kids there. They're the ones that would be having to go to the school in the case of an emergency and have to, you know, get that horrible news.
By that, in that vein, the teacher should walk out. The principal should walk. I agree with that. They're all on the same side here.
Remember, this weekend, the president backed down on saying a lot of things about gun safety or control in this country. You may see it as an infringement on your rights, but here's what is now going to happen. We're going to actually put money towards training teachers and administrators to arm themselves in the school. The response from at least the federal government is, let's put more guns in the schools, albeit in the hands of trained people. Because really, if you take a training class as a teacher, for the rest of your life, you'll be a real good shot. So that's what we've got going. If I'm going to a school building every day, you're damn right I'm at that rally on Wednesday. Are you kidding me?
Real quick, can you name 5, 6, 7, 8 teachers who you would not ever want to have a gun?
it's
crazy.
God,
we
yeah.
think that because they're teachers.
Well, those wouldn't be the ones that would get the guns.
Why? Why would you say that?
Magically, we'll know which ones will be the good ones, and they'll always do well.
But schools also set aside time for anti-drug programs, for during prom season, not drinking and driving, not being at a party that you shouldn't be at.
What's your point?
The point is, if they find those things important, this also should be on their radar of
this
importance
like
to set time aside. If it's 17 minutes.
I disagree. I think, oh, no, you're talking about the protests. Fine. I'm talking about training teachers
to carry guns. No, I'm saying on setting the time aside, taking out of quote unquote learning time.
So you remember Tracy, who used to produce for Kathy and Judy and comes to all of our remotes? She's on line 7. Hey, Tracy, this is John.
It was Spike, but that's okay. Hi, John.
Oh, God, I did do that, didn't I? That's because I talked to Beth. Beth Swerk came on my show on Saturday, and I introduced her that way. She was my producer in Kathy and Judy's. Each day, I hope to interview one of our former producers here on WGN. How are you, Tracer?
Hi, John. How are you?
Okay, now I thought of you because you are like the pit bull mom. You are the greatest advocate for your kids and for education.
Mean that in the nicest possible way, right?
You do not want to get in the way of Tracy when she is advocating for her kids.
Tiger mom, yes.
Yep. And so I was wondering, so what would you say if your kid said, Mom, we want to walk out of school?
I would say that I'm happy to support her or him in protesting, but in where I live, there's actually repercussions. The superintendent sent out an email saying in the high school that you will be sent to detention if you leave class.
Okay, I just made you the superintendent of your kid's school. Would you issue detentions if the kids walked out on Wednesday?
If it's disrupting the class, I guess I kind of see it. Like, you should make choices, and I would tell my daughter, you know, I understand that you want to go out and do the walkout, but your responsibility is as a student, and if the rule says that you can't do it, then you just deal. No, that's just an hour detention on Saturday is just the repercussion of your protest.
You know, she used to be so much more radical, John. I don't know what happened.
I'm surprised she's not more on my side on this one, to be honest with you. I don't think the school should be punishing the kids for this one.
Tracy, we're talking about you right now.
I know, but it's a rule. It's the rule. I didn't make the rule, but if that's what they're saying, then I have to teach my daughter the consequences.
Yeah. All right. I'm hanging up on you, Tracy. Thank you for your time today.
Love you, John.
Betty, you're on WGN. What do you want to say? Hi.
Hello. How are you today?
Good. You're on the air. What's your thought?
I had originally called in to say that, first, I am a teacher. My school district let our students out a couple of weeks ago, like on the second or third week anniversary. It took 1,200 kids about 30 minutes to be part of this organized march around our school buildings. Because we live in a rural area, there's no like community to walk out to.
Right.
But one of the sticky points from our side, and I totally agree with it, I want their parents there. Our union voice is support them, but don't put your job at risk, depending on the administration of your district. But what I would really like to see and how to manage is, it is their right to go out and protest this or make a point of this, and it's their freedom of speech, but it makes it very hard for a school district when, for freedom of speech, they want to go out.
Yeah.
And protest something differently.
I knew someone was going to say this.
It's a very fine line that we walk.
Yeah, I hear you. Thank you for the call, Betty.
Can I ask Betty a question?
Okay, sure. I think she's still there. Go ahead, Betty.
Do you know of teachers who you would rather not see have guns?
In the building I work in, no. But I'm sure there are people out there. I personally have shotguns. I have some NRA awards, which surprises my students. from when I was a teen, and I've shot everything from handguns to rifles.
Hold on a second, Betty, but I want to make sure we're talking about the same thing. Steve's asking if there's teachers that you would be happy to see carrying guns in your school. You're on board that.
I do not want guns in my school at all.
Okay, I think that's the question we're asking. Betty, thank you for the call. Christy is next. You're on WGN. Christy, what do you want to say?
John, I don't understand what they expect to accomplish by a walkout. I know that's not the question you were really asking, but
sorry.
Someone please help me understand what, in a perfect world, walking out of school for 17 minutes or even a whole day, what is that going to accomplish?
Yeah, I don't have an answer to that. I just think, though, you've got to do something. If you think that violence in the schools and this gun issue requires attention, what are you going to do? You're not a member of Congress. Yeah, you could blog about it, but this is your voice. I think that's... But yeah, does it seem a little pointless? We're going to walk around the school, go back in, and then...
The whole point is to disrupt the system.
Yeah.
It's not working the way it is.
And does this affect change? I don't know how, but what else have you got? Let's talk to our friend Sam Panionovich, formerly of WGN Radio and WGN Radio Sports. Hi, Sam. How are you?
Hi, John. I'm great. I'm sitting inside a sports book, watching numbers move, looking at flashing lights. There's not much better. You know, I'm very happy where I'm at right now, but I'm actually inside a sports book right now. Go figure.
You really miss us, don't you, Sam?
I do miss you. Are you surprised I haven't asked you to wire me money yet, though?
Actually, well, I have every confidence in you to make wise and prudent decisions. In fact, that's what you do for a living now. Tell people what you do, Sam.
Yeah, so pretty much we crunch numbers, we talk about trends and stats, and we do analysis on pretty much everything that comes through Las Vegas as far as games go. I'm beefing up my NHL knowledge. I've got NBA on the horizon, too, but right now it's March Madness, so we're breaking down the brackets and looking at which teams have value on the futures market and, you know, breaking down our Thursday-Friday matchups. We've got spreads and odds, futures, and, you know, I'm pretty much the human calculator right now out here in Vegas.
And then you talk about this on your Sirius radio show, right?
Yeah, I'm actually on in 20 minutes. I'm doing a show called The Edge from 12 to 2 in Vegas. So, I mean, keep it locked into WGN. But, you know, if you get bored, you can always flip over to XM 204. So, doing sports radio, talking about stuff that comes out of the sports book. And, man, is it fun out here.
I know you're busy then. You're getting ready for your show. I won't keep you long. But real quick, do you do things outside of sports? You know, there's action on all sorts of events, political, Hollywood, whatever. Do you do that or do you just do sports?
I tried to dip my toe into the Oscars, actually. There were odds for, you know, Best Picture and
right.
Supporting Actor and Actress and everything. I let Richard Roper deal with that stuff. I don't get into the Oscars and all that, but you could certainly bet money on that stuff, but I didn't actually see like half of those movies that were up for Best Picture, so I'll leave that to the experts.
What stands out with the 64 or 68 team field to you this year?
Well, I look at Virginia as a team, you know, the number one seed in the South region. You know, for years they've been sort of boggled down. They've had one game in the tournament where they've scored, you know, 54, 59. Last year they lost because they scored 39. I think this is finally the year that Virginia in the South region actually goes to the Final Four. They'd be the first one under Tony Bennett. They're one of my first, one of the first teams that hops off the bracket there. I've got Virginia, Gonzaga, Purdue, and Kansas in my Final Four. But I think the question that everybody's asking out here in Vegas is, can Virginia actually do what people expect them to do? And I do think that this is the best offensive team they've had. So if you've got Virginia in your Final Four as you're listening right now, I think you're into something right there. I do like Virginia. I also look at the draw for West Virginia, and I think that is just flat-out brutal. I mean, the schedule that they have, they play Murray State in the first round. If they win that, then they get Wichita State. If they win that, oh, by the way, then you get Villanova. If you win that, maybe you get Purdue down the road. So I think West Virginia road is really, really tough for Bob Huggins and company. But my big question is, can Virginia go to the Final Four? And I think the answer to that question is yes.
Okay, so you like Virginia, Villanova, Kansas, and Purdue. Is that your Final Four?
Virginia, Gonzaga. You know I like Gonzaga. Virginia, Gonzaga, Purdue, and Kansas. Those are my four.
Purdue and Kansas. All right. And how do you? What do you got Loyola doing from Chicago?
I like Loyola, actually, to win that first game against Miami. That spread is really tight here in Vegas. I thought that it would be a little bit bigger, but Loyola is actually a two-point underdog against Miami because the Sharps out here in Vegas, they're not high on this Miami squad. So I think Loyola can win that game against Miami. Anything goes against Tennessee. If Loyola hits their shots, this is a really good team, John. And I know they haven't been dancing in a long time.
Loyola.
I saw they were on the front page of the Tribune yesterday. Yeah, Loyola, really good team, upperclassmen, a lot of seniors and juniors. They're well-coached, big Porter Moser fan. I think Loyola wins against Miami. That'll be on March 15th in the opening round. And then I think they can go to the Sweet 16. They're one of my favorite mid-major teams in all the fields.
Hmm. Okay, so I'm writing down Loyola. I wrote down Gonzaga. By the way, do you have Virginia, or who do you got winning the whole thing?
I've got Purdue, actually. Kudos to my uncle, the Cheech man. He's a big Purdue guy. I'm picking Purdue for him. I like Purdue. I think they're going to come out of the East. I think they're the best team in that region. Villanova-Purdue would be a great game in that conference, or in that region, I should say, I guess. But I've got Purdue taking down Gonzaga in the championship game.
Wow. Okay. And then what else? The Big Ten. Talk to me a little bit about that. How many games is the Big Ten going to win?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think Michigan beats Montana, but that's a tough matchup in round two against Houston. I like Michigan State to make a run. I think they're going to beat Duke in the Midwest region. I think Sparty goes to the Elite Eight before they run into Kansas, and Kansas has just too much firepower. Ohio State, I don't know. They might lose to the Jackrabbits of South Dakota State. Isn't that a great name, the Jackrabbits of South Dakota State?
Yeah.
I think I just picked them because they're called the Jackrabbits, honestly. And then you've got, Purdue, who I think is going to win the whole damn thing. They've got 2 7-footers inside. They've got a bunch of senior guards that can shoot it. I do like Purdue to make a deep run. I think you have maybe, two teams in the Big Ten in the Elite Eight, and then I've got a national champion coming out of the Big Ten. But remember, John, the Big Ten hasn't won a title since 2000, so it's been a while.
Yeah, I know that. I know all this stuff. All right, so you got Purdue winning the whole thing. Who's the 12 that you like, or the 13? Give me some of those Cinderella games that might happen for you.
Well, I like South Dakota State. I already told you that. Jackrabbits. I like them to beat Ohio State. Look at it, New Mexico State, too, against Clemson. That's a pretty nice line here in Vegas. So New Mexico State is the 12 over the 5 Clemson. I don't know about Murray State over West Virginia. I'm not really sure that Davidson could beat Kentucky. But Loyola, Loyola's an 11. That's a double-digit seed, I think, and go to the Sweet 16. I'm not just saying that because we're on in Chicago. I really like Loyola as an 11. I like South Dakota State as a 12. And I also think the New Mexico State is a really good team out of the WAC. They just beat Chicago State last week by like 30. I was at the game in Vegas. It was ugly. But I like New Mexico State as a 12, South Dakota State as a 12, and Loyola Chicago as an 11.
Tell me what you think of my Butler Bulldogs against Arkansas in the East.
I'm going to pick Butler. I may pick myself. I mean, you watch this team. You know, if Keelan Martin and Kamar Baldwin can be on the same page for one game, they can do some serious damage. But they're like Jekyll and Hyde. One plays well, one plays poorly. The next game, it's vice versa. I just think Martin, you watch a lot of Butler games, right? Martin, can he take any more 27-footers off balance, off 1 foot? He's so frustrating to watch, but he makes a lot of them from time to time. So, I don't know. I like Butler to beat Arkansas, but I think they're going to get smoked by Purdue in round two. But I would think that Butler does beat Arkansas. Butler's a small favorite here in Vegas. They're a 1-point favorite right now at the South One Hotel where I'm at. So I like Butler to win game one. But it's a tough hill in game two.
Butler played Purdue earlier this year and got spanked, but that's because we don't have two agile 7'2" guys. That should be on. Right. They should have, you know what they need to have? Like, you know how they have spending caps, salary caps in professional sports? They should have height caps for college teams. You can't have, that's like 15 feet of people and it's just two guys.
Now, what would you say if Butler had those two guys?
I would love it. And, you know, here's the thing.
Right.
If I was 7'2" and could play at that level, I would go to a Butler or a team that's always nipping at the heels. I mean, what's the point of going to Duke? That's been done. Go to a Butler and actually go to DePaul. You know, go to Northwestern. Go to Loyola and, like, make that program. That's what I would do.
How about Illinois? Don't leave Illinois off. You know, I'm an Illini guy.
No interest in Illinois. All right, Sam. Listen, let's check in later this week maybe and see if the line's moved at all, or maybe you could pop in on our Saturday show after the first round. But if you're doing your brackets, Sam Panionovich in Vegas says Purdue, Kansas, Gonzaga, this is your final four, and Virginia with Purdue beating Gonzaga.
There's no time for any NIT questions at all. Is that what you're saying? You're out of time?
Hey, Sam, watch this.
Just wondering, Sam, about the Marquette-Harvard game coming up in the NIT.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've been actually piled into the NCAA field for the big boy seat. But I think Marquette, the thing about Marquette is, though, here's the thing.
I heard it.
Seriously, Illinois didn't make the dance either. So I'm just throwing daggers right now. The thing about Marquette, a team that I thought was going to make the tournament coming into the season, you got to watch out for a team like Marquette that goes into the NIT. I don't know that they're really all that in. You know what I'm saying? I don't know that they really care about the NIT. That's a tough matchup against Harvard. I don't need to tell you that they're really smart. They move the ball well. They guard well. They're going to try and slow it down. So if Marquette doesn't make their shots, they could be in trouble against Harvard. I do think they win that game. I think they should make a run. But when you miss the tournament and those are the expectations, it's always tough with teams like that that should be in the dance, that have the talent to be in the dance, but don't make it. Be careful, Steve. You might want to hold that hoodie a little bit tight.
I was just kidding around, mostly.
Sam found the right work for himself, didn't he?
Yeah.
All right, Mr. Panionovich, we'll talk to you later. I hope you're having a nice life. We miss you.
I'll miss you guys, too. See you later.
Sam Panionovich, he's a Southside fella, worked at this radio station for a couple cups of coffee, and now he's out in Las Vegas working with Brent Musburger and some other guys from the Tribune. They have this sports book radio network, and that's what he does now. He does numbers. I go, those are pretty uniforms. I'll go with Missouri.
Did he say he doesn't have to tell us that the team from Harvard plays smart basketball?
I know, I could have done that. Well, Harvard, you know, that's a high IQ club. They move the ball around. They got real good basketball knowledge, those kids. Yeah, I think I could do that. Here's what I could do. I could do that, but it could be completely wrong. You know, the critics may go, as it turns out, this is the dumbest Harvard team in the history of basketball, and they're going to lose by 57 points. I don't know. One last observation about the tournament, and that is this, that the difference between knowing a lot about these teams and not knowing a lot about these teams isn't great. Your chances, you know, I think, you know how like in the office pool, somebody named Lois who doesn't know generally does as well as the Sam Panionoviches of the world. I don't have an explanation for that. Everything Sam said seems to be credible and researched and, you know, nuanced. And then somebody goes, I just like their uniforms. How is it that that person can be competitive? But that does seem to happen.
It's madness, baby. It's
March madness. One last thing. Do you know if you just pick the odds-on favorites to win the games, right? That the 16 beats the 1 and that the 8 beats the 9 and just fill it out that way. I wonder statistically how well you do. What percentage of the games do you win? What percentage of the tournament pools would you win? I would imagine it would be very high. Speaking of expert advice, who told Betsy DeVos that it would be a good idea to go on 60 Minutes? I suppose it's a good idea.
Right. You don't need to be a Sam Panionovich to know the odds aren't good.
You're the Education Secretary of the United States of America, so you should be able to talk to us about education and blah, 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 especially with guns and that education angle right now, or underperforming schools, whatever. You ought to be the best in the United States at it. Really, that's your job. You need to be the best at it. If you're not, then don't go on 60 Minutes. because I don't know that 60 Minutes is out to get you. I don't know if they have gotcha questions. But if they're going to drill down and you don't know the answers, then it's going to look bad.
Have the public schools in Michigan gotten better?
I don't know. Overall, I can't say overall that they have all gotten better.
The whole state is not doing well.
Well, there are certainly lots of pockets where the students are doing well.
But your argument that if you take funds away, that the schools will get better is not working in Michigan, where you had a huge impact and influence over the direction of the school system here.
I hesitate to talk about all schools in general because schools are made up of individual students attending them.
The public schools here are doing worse than they did.
Michigan schools need to do better. There is no doubt about it.
Have you seen the really bad schools? Maybe try to figure out what they're doing.
I have not intentionally visited schools that are underperforming.
Maybe you should.
Maybe I should. Yes.
You can hear the edits in that conversation. I don't know how fair they were, but those were her words, and she just wasn't prepared for some of that. I think that last part is most interesting, isn't it? Because normally when we see the president or the mayor or the talk show host, any of it, whenever there's some sort of public person at a school, it's usually the school where five kids just got perfect scores on their ACT. Now you're on the front page of the Sun-Times. Who goes to the schools that are underperforming and walks up and down the halls?
Well, the person who's fixing them. No, what
apparently
do you mean?
What's not. Your...
Apparently not.
Right.
But I mean, that's a good idea. All I'm saying is I think that strikes me as suddenly novel, Steve, and it shouldn't be, right? Right.
It's suddenly novel that you would go and do that?
Yeah, right. Yeah. How often do we see that? How often do you see Mayor Rahm Emanuel walking around the worst school in Chicago kicking the tires on that? They should. Especially if you're Betsy DeVos. And if you don't, you better be ready for the question when it comes.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Got your...
Here's John Williams.
Picks. Mm-mm. That is the ones that Sam Panionovich said if you missed our conversation, you might consider the double-digit seeds in the tournament.
Lord have mercy.
These are the ones you might keep your eye on as you fill them out. You're not doing it right if you don't have at least 112 beating a 5. Good grief. Go out on a limb. Take an 11 over a 6. But you look at these pieces of paper, names and numbers that you really don't know anything about, and then you try and muscle up some sort of informed opinion. What do I know if Texas is any good? I watch a lot of college basketball. I don't know if Texas is better than the team they're playing. Okay, I noticed that in the Sun-Times they do have San Diego State. That's your 11 over 6, Houston. San Diego State, the Sun-Times says, might beat number 11, Houston. Our Sam Panionovich said he likes the Jackrabbits of South Dakota State, in part because he likes saying the Jackrabbits of South Dakota State. He also thinks New Mexico State has a shot, and they are a lower seed. And he also likes my Butler Bulldogs at 10 over Arkansas and 11. That's not super courageous, but we asked him, and there it is. He thinks West Virginia has a tough road to hoe getting past Murray State. Maybe I'll put Murray State down. I worry about these things. I really want to do well. My brackets are always crap.
Have we found a pool yet?
No. In fact, I asked Adam Hoag, who's in our sports department. I said, Adam, are you doing it? And he looked at me like I was from Planet 12. He goes, no, I'm not doing it. Because the pools are so much work. You got to, you know, get the documents from everybody.
Not,
you got to get the money.
Not work anymore. You sign. There's a website that keeps track of them. It's easy as pie. You should do it.
Yeah, I'm not doing it.
Come on.
I always sign up.
What
for
else
these
are
things.
You doing?
I'm not giving. I'm not doing. I got 2 hours to do every day on the radio.
You know who would do really a good job?
No,
LF. Yeah, because she doesn't really care.
LF knows about.
And LF. She's so organized.
She's organized, yeah. And she's really a good sports mind.
Mm-hmm.
LF, who do you like in the NCAA tournament this year?
UIC Flames.
There you go. She's got them winning it all.
Well, we know she won't cheat.
We're not making fun of you, Elif. We are. We're making a little fun of you. We're making just a little fun of you.
I'm a good sport, but maybe not a good sports mind.
Oh, good. That's good.
I'm not making fun of you, Elif. I'm just trying to get you to do it.
Yeah, whatever it takes. What do you need? Okay, lots of ground to cover. I wanted to bring up a couple of points about what happened over the weekend. We'll get to that in a little bit here. I want to pick up a couple of phone calls, though, because some of you are holding through the news talking about the Betsy DeVos audio that we played. Just one clip. She was on 60 Minutes because they don't have the Stormy Daniels green light yet. Can you imagine that? Stormy Daniels on 60 Minutes. There's no reason to put Stormy Daniels on 60 Minutes. Anyway, there is good reason to put Betsy DeVos on.
Who is she going to replace?
Yeah, I don't know what got bumped as a result or got inserted because the Stormy Daniels stuff isn't ready to go. You'd think that if 60 Minutes really did get some really terrific revelation in that interview, that they would be doing something with it at CBS, and I haven't seen any reporting coming out of that. Maybe they're honoring whatever embargo she, you know, put up front. You know, I'll give you this interview, but until I green light it, you can't run it, and they're not doing anything with whatever they got. But the interview's happened. It's just a question of if and when they're going to run it, 60 Minutes. They did a piece with Leslie Stahl and Betsy DeVos, and DeVos didn't seem to be well prepared. And when Stahl asked, well, Michigan schools are doing poorly, and you're advocating letting parents and students leave the public schools that are failing, and somehow you think that's going to actually make the public schools better. And Stahl was arguing, she was just pointing out that in Michigan, where DeVos has had a real footprint, that has not worked. And then DeVos said at the end she has not gone to any of these schools that are failing, at least not intentionally. And that's where we left it off. Frank wanted to ask a question. You're on WGN. Frank, go ahead.
Hi, King John. Not to parse her words at all, but when she said she did not intentionally go to any of those underperforming schools, she didn't deny or admit that she hasn't gone. She's trying to make it seem as if going there is a bad thing. I didn't intentionally go there. It's almost as if she's under deposition and she's saying, I never intentionally misrepresented Amway's earning potential, Amway being her family business. It's like she's denying something as if it's a bad thing to go to those schools. I don't get it.
She's looking for some sort of deniability here, huh? Well, I don't know about that because I wasn't there. I, to be honest with you, let me play it back. I didn't hear it that way, but here's what she said.
Have the public schools in Michigan gotten better?
I don't know. Overall, I can't say overall that they have all gotten better.
The whole state is not doing well.
Well, there are certainly lots of pockets where the students are doing
no,
well.
But your argument that if you take funds away, that the schools will get better is not working in Michigan, where you had a huge impact and influence over the direction of the school system here.
I hesitate to talk about all schools in general because schools are made up of individual students attending them.
The public schools here are doing worse than they did.
Michigan schools need to do better. There is no doubt about it.
Have you seen the really bad schools? Maybe try to figure out what they're doing.
I have not intentionally visited schools that are underperforming.
Maybe you should.
Maybe I should. Yes.
Okay, Frank, you're back up. I heard what you said. I heard what she said. I think she's
I didn't hear it.
No, that's okay. I just didn't think it was that damning. I think what she was saying is it never dawned on me to go visit the bad schools, the underperforming schools. I don't think she's being legalistic about it. I just think I don't know what's worse. It sounds like it never dawned on her, huh, we should go to the underperforming schools and see what the problem is here. She hasn't done that.
Well, I generally think that when somebody puts an adjective in front of a direct statement, she could have just said, I have not gone. Okay, fine, you haven't gone. But she has to put an adjective in there. I have not intentionally gone. Well, can you unintentionally go? Can you get kidnapped and go to a school? Like it's a negative thing? Instead of just copying to the fact that she didn't go, she had to give herself an excuse for not going. I haven't intentionally gone. I didn't intentionally misrepresent the earnings potential of an Amway distributor.
Sounds
like she's saying that and her family is Amway. And that should tell you something right there.
Thank you for the phone call, Frank. I appreciate your listening.
Anytime, John. Thank you.
Have a good day. Peter, you're on WGN. What did you hear? You're on the air.
Yeah, I think I heard it a little differently than I think Frank did, or I think you agreed with Frank. And that was, I think what she was saying is that she didn't intentionally single out bad schools, because the next question would be then, what did you find or what were those schools? I think in her normal course of visiting schools, she didn't intentionally go to those poor performing schools. That would be a way of identifying them also, yeah. And she didn't want to get caught in that trap.
Okay, now tell us the bad schools. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, really, to be honest with you, Peter, I don't know what she was saying when she said that. We've all heard it a couple times. I'm not exactly sure what her intent was.
The whole point is she was asked, why are these Michigan schools that you tried to fix doing worse? And she didn't have an answer for that. That's really what this is all about. Then the second and third and fourth question after that sort of becomes less relevant.
Peter, thank you for the call. I hear what you're saying, though. And this is Dave. You wanted to say something. Dave, you're on WGN.
Hey, John. Good afternoon.
Hey.
She just says a high point of why we have the worst people in secretarial positions in our government than anybody. And since I won't go to the others, let's stick with her. She wants to privatize the school system. She hates public school systems. She has always never wanted public school systems to be working well within the community, which they do. She was thrown away by the students going down to Parkland. They wanted nothing of her even being anywhere near the school with wanting to bring the guns in. She's backed by the NRA, which is why Trump has her up there talking about putting guns in the school with the teachers. And majority of the people of this country do not want any more guns in the school. If anything, have it stopped at the door before it gets in the door.
Yeah.
And it just racks me. I gag every time I hear her name. I mean, she's related to the Blackwater privatization of armies that were used in Iraq, along with Amway. And I agree with what Frank says about Amway. We all know the snookerism about getting caught up in the Amway game.
Dave, thanks for the call. I don't know that her having anything to do with Amway has anything to do with her being education secretary. Let's criticize her performance or her qualifications almost outside of that, really. I mean, are we going to beat her up because she's involved in Amway?
My favorite part of that interview is when you know someone's rattled when they start to repeat the questioner.
Yeah, I know.
Well, maybe you should. Maybe I should. You know, it's like they're like really struggling.
She looked great. She had a great smile. Her makeup was solid. She was being cheerful and positive. When Leslie Stahl said, well, maybe you should go to the underperforming schools, she affirmed that. She didn't rebuff that. You know, she was trying her hardest, you guys. Line four is Bob. You're on WGN. Bob, what did you want to say?
The reason, in my opinion, the reason she said that she didn't intentionally go there is because she really is so clueless. She doesn't know which schools are underperforming. And she has visited some. And they may have been underperforming,
that's
but
what
she
I'm
doesn't
wondering.
Even know which ones those are.
That's why I think, to be honest with you, that's why I think she said intentionally. I think she goes to all kinds of schools for all kinds of reasons, and some of them do better than others. Did she intentionally go to the underperforming schools? She wasn't on a tour of bad schools to see what's wrong, but she's gone to a lot of schools, some good, some bad. You know, I keep using the word bad, but you know what I'm saying.
Right, and even if she was at one of the quote-unquote bad ones, she didn't even know it was a bad one.
Well, that would be a problem. Bob, thanks for the call. I think this is Gary, right? Is that Gary on line five? Gary, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Gary. You're on the air.
Well, Bob just said exactly what I was going to say. She goes and visits a school she is assumed was going to be a high-performing school. She shows up. It's not a high-performing school. It's a poor-performing. So she didn't intentionally go to the poor-performing school. She meant to go to the good performing one and showed up, it was bad.
Well, so does this get her off the hook? I guess it doesn't, right? She has no clue.
No, it doesn't get her off the hook at all.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Thanks for the phone call, Gary. I appreciate your thoughts. I didn't watch the segment, to be honest with you. I'm just clicking around the way you are the next day, and there's this story.
I like how she mostly blames each individual student.
Well, but here again, I heard that differently. So
I kind of heard that too. I was wondering about that.
She's like, well, listen, I can make the best schools ever, but
it's made up of kids.
And those kids are messing up the scores.
I disagree. Elif, will you play the Betsy DeVos audio again? Just listen to a little of this.
Have the public schools in Michigan gotten better?
I don't know. Overall, I can't say overall that they have all gotten better.
The whole state is not doing well.
Well, there are certainly lots of pockets where the students are doing well.
But your argument that if you take funds away, that the schools will get better is not working in Michigan, where you had a huge impact and influence over the direction of the school system here.
I hesitate to talk about all schools in general because schools are made up of individual students attending them.
The public school.
Okay, I think that this is the truth. That if you want your if you want to produce a good student, a student who succeeds in school and gets an education and has a fruitful life, that's on you. That's on the parent. It's on the individuals. That the truth about education is more about families than it is these institutions. And so when she says, well, you need to not look at macro, but you need to look at micro, I think there's a lot of truth to that. I may be giving her more credit than is due here. But in general, I think what we need is more kitchen tables with moms and dads than we need free laptops and swimming pools and great campuses.
But the point is, and I agree with you, I mean, it does come down many times to parents, but also to resources in those schools, right?
Yeah.
And from what I'm picking up from that, and I'm only getting a second and third too, she was behind a plan that took government resources from some schools, right? Isn't that what Leslie Stahl said?
Yeah.
In an effort that, with those individual families or not, her plan was this would make the schools better.
Okay.
And Stahl seems to be saying they didn't. That they got worse. And if that's the case, if your plan was to do it, knowing that it's up to families and local communities, and you still said this one would work, you still have to answer for the fact that it didn't.
No.
Right? So I mean, perhaps, that's not unfair.
Right. So perhaps take the funds away, but then put other things in place that maybe include parent involvement more or...
Well, look, if you have your druthers, you'd have them both. There's no point in arguing that reducing the resources is going to make a school better or more likely for a kid to succeed. That's just cuckoo bananas. But if you said prioritize them, what's more important? I would say the first most important thing is a mom and a dad and a kid who care. And that the superintendent can't do and money can't do and computers can't do. And I want to believe that that was the point that she was trying to make. Violette, I didn't hear her criticizing the underperforming families and students. I thought I heard her championing those who do that, that it's up to individuals.
See, that's interesting because I really heard her say, I heard her stop short, like stop herself from saying, it's like, you know, some of these families, I can't, what can
They're
I do?
They're screwing up. They're screwing up.
And there's by the way, so much we can do.
And that is true, by
yeah,
the way.
Maybe it is.
But you got to be careful how you say
but
that.
But you also have families who are ultra involved who send their kids to those schools too. That don't have the books or the libraries or are filled with families that don't care.
I know.
And they deserve to be taught.
I know. And you know what? And they're not, and they're going to stop sending their kids there if we don't. I mean, really. All of us want the mayor's kids to go to the public school. All of us want the superintendent's kids to go to the public school because then they will have more of an interest in making sure those schools have the resources. Speaking of great performances over the weekend, how about that speech in Pennsylvania by your president? Here's what CNN has to stop doing. Here's how CNN covered the president's speech in Pennsylvania, which was from Mars, but that's what he does. The headline of their story was, "The 64 Most Outrageous Lines from Donald Trump's Untethered Pennsylvania Speech." And then it's this clickbait-ready article about how off the chain Donald Trump was over the weekend. Donald Trump's always like that. And you can always write these articles, but to just cherry pick the nuttiest lines, and really it would be a very short article if you did the cogent points. That's not my point. I just think that kind of reporting about the president's speech doesn't do 60 Minutes or anybody any good. Having said that, we'll listen to some of them in a minute. This is John Williams. You know, when we found out last week that the president was going to meet with Kim Jong-un, I believe I was the first to say it's not going to happen. Does the record show that? Do we have any?
I think you were pretty early there, yeah.
Thank you. I have no news to the contrary right now, but I still don't think it's going to happen.
Well, they started laying the groundwork for it not happening, right, on Friday?
Yeah, right away they came out and said, yeah, you know, maybe not. And then for a million reasons, some of them logistical, some of them political, blah, blah, blah. The idea of Donald Trump getting in a room with Kim Jong-un and determining the fate of the world is kind of terrifying to me. And while I know he's a great negotiator, I worry that he's going to come out and say, okay, here's the deal. They keep the nukes, but we got like 9 hotels out of them. Or something like that. Really, I just don't think that that's the sort of thing that an amateur, and Donald Trump is a political amateur, say what you will about him. He's a great negotiator, maybe, but I just don't think that this is the sort of thing best left to people doing it for the first time. So I don't think it's a good idea that he sits down and talks to Kim Jong-un. The cartoon in the editorial page of the Chicago Tribune today is about as good a cartoon as you'll ever see.
Them on a seesaw?
It should. Did you see one like that, Violetta?
No, but we were talking about it, and that would have been wonderful.
We were struck by the fact that in South and North Korea, they seesaw standing up. And that there must be a good cartoon out there somewhere of, you know, each of them trying to get the advantage. And I don't know exactly how that cartoon goes, but the one they do have, and it's not a Scott Stantis cartoon, although we all love and know Scott's great. But it's Kim Jong-un is Lucy holding the football, and Donald Trump is Charlie Brown getting ready to kick it. And I'm like, that is exactly what is about to happen here if these two guys get together. You can't trust them. You can't trust them.
And you never see it coming.
And I'll tell you one of the reasons why I also think that this meeting is not going to happen, certainly should not. It was the speech that he gave this weekend in Pennsylvania. I mean, the guy who you do want to, I don't know, think and communicate intelligently on behalf of the people of the United States stood up in front of the people of the United States and gave a bizarre old speech again. I mean, his fans loved it. His fans seemed to love it. They are laughing and carrying on. But if you thought after he said, okay, we're going to sit down with Kim Jong-un. Trust me, everybody. I can be a big boy. I got my big boy pants, and I'm going to sit down and we're going to negotiate like sober, intelligent, thoughtful, brilliant Wharton School guy I am. I can do this. I got this. I got this.
I'm going to Rocket Man's house.
Trust me. I got it. And then he goes out and gives that speech in Pennsylvania, and it's as nutso as he's ever been. And you think maybe Kelly or somebody who's paying attention to him goes, oh, crap. That's the guy. He's reminding us he's that guy. Whatever Donald Trump is supposed to be in the room with Kim Jong-un, really, he's that guy that was in Pennsylvania. And the guy in Pennsylvania, as the kids say, was off the chain. Is off the chain, is that correct, Violetta?
No. Off the charts, maybe.
What is that? Is off the chain a saying? And if so, what does that mean?
Elif, it means
look
cool.
Up in the Urban the Dictionary. Chain. Elif, look up in the Urban Dictionary and tell us what off the chain means. I think that's a saying.
I think it means cool, based on what I know and the context I've heard it in.
Oh, no. I want off the chain to mean like deranged.
Right. That's off the charts.
Off the chain doesn't mean that?
No. It means out of control. Wild, fun.
Wild and fun.
Out of control come a wild fun, just like when your pit bull gets off the chain in the backyard and tears through the neighborhood.
That's off the chain. Really? That's the sort of etymology of that? Wow.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like it'd be a fun thing, though, if your pit bull got off the chain.
No, it certainly does not.
I guess it's letting loose.
Right, I know.
Getting crazy.
What I'm hearing Ella say, though, is that it's wild fun.
Yeah, and that's what it says here.
That's not how I'm using it. All right, I got to stop using that. He said, the steel mills are now opening up because of what I did. You know, the tariff. To which CNN wrote, Trump signed the steel tariff measure on Thursday. And on Friday, he says the steel mills are now opening up. So that's fast work. And then let's just play. I'll only ask you to listen to one clip of it. But in case you missed it, here is the president, Elif, talking about Chuck Todd.
You ever see the story? It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you. And They showed it this morning, 1999, and I'm talking about North Korea. You got to take them out now. And then they have Clinton saying...
And then he's making fun of Hillary Clinton. He also called Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas again. He said, I was watching during the campaign and Hillary was sitting right there and Pocahontas was up. She was so angry, you know, I think she's losing the audience. He still refers to Senator Warren as Pocahontas. I have said for a long time that I don't blame the people who voted for Donald Trump because they did not know how off the charts he was going to be, right? I still feel that way. If you voted for Donald Trump and now we've got this guy going to North Korea to discuss about nuclear weapons, I don't hold you responsible for that. I don't fault you. The people that didn't vote for Donald Trump didn't know how kooky he was going to be, let alone the people who were hoping that he would kind of gather it up. He's not capable of that. He's also not interested in that. So if his critics didn't think he was going to be this crazy, then how could his supporters have known?
Oh,
that's my logic.
You're giving absolution again?
I totally am.
Yeah.
But his critics were hoping for the best.
That's right. That's right. I mean, but at least...
Well, not all of them, no. Some of his critics wanted him to fail miserably.
Nobody benefits if he fails.
I know, but there are many out there who wanted him to fail.
I guess so. Yeah. Well, okay, fine. I mean, those of you that are enjoying this whole Stormy Daniels thing, knowing that that's not going to produce any measure of change in your world, are maybe enjoying it because it's making him and his family miserable. So you got that going for you. But on this thing, I've always said that if the people who were voting for him didn't think he was going to be that crazy... You know, they couldn't know. They couldn't know. They were kind of hoping that, all right, so he's going to drain the swamp, whatever. But he's not going to be that nutso. Even the people who didn't vote for him didn't think he was going to be this crazy.
But they didn't vote for him.
And there
the people who did vote for him...
Did not vote for this behavior.
They were told...
The people that voted for him did not vote for this.
Maybe not, John, but you can't... If I voted for him or whoever, if we went in and cast our ballot... For Donald Trump or Barack Obama or Michael Dukakis, we carry with that the responsibility for choosing him. There's never in my lifetime been a candidate who had members of his own party calling him a fraud in the weeks before the election, a phony, a fraud, and now the senator from Utah.
Those
warnings were there by his own party. So you can't the people who voted for him. Of course we have responsibility for that. We cast ballots.
That may actually tell you more about Hillary Clinton than Donald Trump or his supporters.
Had a bracket system of all the crazy things that happened during the election. Those weren't warning signs of based on behavior and how he would act?
I'm unpersuaded by your arguments, kids. I just feel like because what you're not hearing me say is how in fact, long and nuttier his behavior has become. It's been a prolonged parade of stuff that makes you slap yourself in the forehead. And I think people who voted for him thought he was doing that just to get elected, but that he wouldn't do that once he got into office.
Okay, but that's like saying that I thought playing with matches would just be fun and it wouldn't set the house on fire. If you set the house on fire, and I'm not saying the house on fire, but then you bear some responsibility for that. And all I'm saying is if you cast a vote for a candidate, you can't say, well, I didn't mean that.
Well, I just think you and I are always going to be in different places.
I know,
I
enjoy it.
And I think, and listen, I know I'm an outlier here, but nobody works harder at trying to see both sides than me. And I know it's frustrating to both sides, so I'll shut up about this. The reason I even bring that point up is this, because the people who do disappoint me now, who I am mad at, are the people that are cheering for him when he calls Chuck Todd a son of a bitch. Are you kidding me? What is the purpose of that other than to sort of degrade the journalism in America? That's the only upside to that.
Those are the same people that were at the rallies prior to election. Those are the same people that voted for him. There's nothing that's changing here other than you won't accept the fact that those Americans actually want that
behavior. Why would you laugh at that? When the president says stuff like that, why would you laugh at that now? That's only aiding and abetting his craziness.
I think you get revved up, you know, if you're in the crowd.
It's sort of like you go to a concert and you want him to play the hits.
This is
Donald Trump's hits. It's when he says really offensive stuff like that. Whoa!
And remember he brought up Kim Jong-un, and people started booing. He's like, no, not this time.
Yeah, you know, not yet.
Right.
It's like he's trying to be the comedian of the American presidency.
Totally. Well, and
the cool dad.
They think he's, that's it. He said, if I do the normal stuff, and then he did a 2-minute stand-up mocking traditional politicians. Well, now here is my fellow congressman, and we shall support him. And he gets this robotic delivery. And, oh, that was hilarious. He goes, but then you wouldn't be here. He literally said that to the crowd. If I did that, you wouldn't be here. Meaning not I would be a good president, but rather meaning you wouldn't be here cheering on this crazy concert I'm putting on. He knows that the nutty Donald Trump fills stadiums and gets him to laugh.
So is it like Mick Jagger having to sing Tumbling Dice? You know, I'd have to go out and do that whole...
It's what they paid for. It's what they want.
Whole build the wall thing again. I'm tired of that song.
Ask any artist when they roll out a new album at a concert how much the fans love it. They start chanting Freebird.
I have to say lock her up one more time.
I know. All right. Lock her up. He knows that's the hits.
Right. But the point of them is to entertain. The point of the president is not to entertain.
The point of this president is. And that's why I'm mad at those people, Violetta, because I am mad at them. I'm not mad at the people that voted for Trump because they didn't know. I'll stop arguing that point. I lose it every time. But we can all it's evident that these people knew and love it and are cheering it on. They own it. They own that. That's for sure. They're not right in the words, but boy, the things that he said were just kind of strange. It was to me proof that he will not sit down with Kim Jong-un. Rowan Anna will come strolling in a little bit. If you just joined us earlier, we talked to former WGN Radio sports guy, Sam Panionovich. Good to hear Sam. He's out in Vegas. He's working on Sirius Radio, where he's a sports betting bookie talk show host, or something like that. And we said, Sam, give us some upsets. Give us some double-digit seeds that'll beat the single digits. He likes Butler at 10 over Arkansas, the 7. Sam likes San Diego or South Dakota State, the Jackrabbits. He likes New Mexico State as well. And I didn't ask him specifically about Murray State over West Virginia, but he doesn't think that the 5 seed West Virginia is going to go very far in the East. He does have Loyola as an 11 beating Miami, the 6. And he said, that's not just because I have been a homer in Chicago. He said, that's a really good team, a lot of seniors, blah, blah, blah. And in fact, he said that the books in Vegas have Loyola right now favored over Miami. So go Ramblers. It's 2:53 on WGN. Now, lots of phone calls. We were talking about some of the things that the president said over the weekend. We can pick up a couple of phone lines about this. We'll start with Tom. Hey, Tom, you're on the air. What did you want to say?
Well, I'm disgusted, and it needs to stop because, like you said, those people that were laughing behind them, my children, I think, we raised them well, they wouldn't be laughing, and no one should be. He's playing to the lowest common denominator, and he is one of those, the phrase, the pitcher is not a catcher. Once all these other, if someone else said about him what he says about people, you know what I mean, he wouldn't take it well. And people need to start calling him out, maybe not calling him the words that he uses, but I'm a veteran and I volunteered, and he is a coward. He has 5 deferments, but he wraps himself in the flag and he thinks he's the greatest. I just discussed it.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. And, you know, Tammy Duckworth gave him a nickname, and it hasn't stuck. I don't know that it should.
Well, he used that phrase on Chuck Todd that he used on those NFL players. Well, yeah. And I don't want to go into it on your show, but I think if people did some research, his parents, like his father and his grandfather background, they leave a lot to be deserved.
I appreciate your phone call. It's 2:54. All the phone lines are ringing about this. Did you see the article in the New York Times over the weekend? And it was titled, "The Man Who Knew Too Little." Right after the election, Eric Hagerman decided he'd take a break from reading about the hoopla of politics. He swore after the election that he would avoid learning anything that happened to America after November 8th, 2016. It was draconian and complete, he said. It was like I was a vampire and any photon of Trump would turn me to dust. He would find out nothing about the news or politics. now more than a year into knowing almost nothing about American politics. He's managed to become shockingly uninformed during one of the most eventful chapters in modern American history. He is as ignorant as a contemporary citizen could ever hope to be. James Comey, Russia, Robert Mueller, Las Vegas, the travel ban, alternative facts, pussy hats, Scaramucci, the Parkland shooting, big nuclear buttons, Roy Moore, he knows none of it. Quote, I'm emotionally healthier than I've ever felt, he said. You know, I was talking to producer Griffin over the weekend about this, and he said that not everybody has the financial wherewithal to stick their head in the sand the way this guy does, and that we shouldn't see this as a virtue. Yeah, I get that. But all of us are guilty of going too far the other way, aren't we? We all get so caught up in this that it's like, really, what's the point? That's how I feel, of course, about the Stormy Daniels story. I think that's great gossip. It's a fascinating story. It's fun to read. I'll keep reading the stories, too. But at the end of the day, I don't think Stormy Daniels is that important. One of you who heard me talk about that on the Mincing Rascals podcast sent me a really good email, thank you for that, or Facebook message, and maybe I'll share that later this week, saying, here's why the Stormy Daniels story matters. I don't think that it does. If it's campaign finance law that he's breaking, that ain't going to end in. That's not going to change the world. Is it bad behavior? Yeah. But I don't think the Stormy Daniels story matters that much. This guy has, he doesn't know Stormy Daniels either. He doesn't know any of this stuff. The man who knew too little in the New York Times, he's a pig farmer in Ohio, but he's rich and he doesn't have to extend himself. Now back to you, already in progress.
All right, thank you.
All right, well, looking forward to the show.
Mm-hmm. What did you want to ask her?
I want her to be clearer about her position on the LGBTQ community and gays. I want to know what she has to say about that. I know that's too broad-based. I'll give you a more refined question.
Okay. Write them out for us.
Just put it on the text line, and we'll see if we get to it.
It's a major dodge.
Take my call. Please take my call.
See ya. Thanks.